Good morning. It is good to see all of you here today. We're glad that you've come to worship with us this morning, especially if you're visiting. We're thankful that you've chosen our church to come be a part of this morning. We know you could have went anywhere around and chose another church to come to, but you came to be part of our worship service, and we're thankful that you're here. If you're a returning visitor, thank you so much for having confidence in us to come back and be with us. Choir, you did a wonderful job today. Thank you very much, Sister Nancy, for the special music today. That was awesome. I really appreciate that. Just a few announcements before we get into the Word of God. Don't forget, tomorrow night is the beginning of the second Financial Peace University class. It will be held in the second room on the Butler Building to our right. You come and park on this side and go to the second room there. To the right, it starts at 7 o'clock. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I want to take it or not, and I don't want to invest in the money. That's okay. Come. The first class is free. Come and see what it's about. See if it's something that you'd be interested in doing. It's only a 9-week course. A lot of helpful information there. You say, well, I'd really want to do it, but I can't afford it. Listen, come see us. We have some folks that will sponsor you and get you through the class. To help you be more financially stable. So if you'd like to be a part of it, don't let finances be a hindrance to you. Don't let a finance, not being able to afford it. And again, if you have somebody at work that is nickel and diming you to death for lunch every day, you go, hey, you got $2 for a burger, you got $1 for a drink or something. Listen. You would be better off paying the $99 in the long, up front to get them in the class so they're not nickel and diming you to death. I'm telling you, just get them involved. And there's folks coming to this that are not part of our church. It's open to the community. You don't have to come here. It's open to everybody. And that's 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And then I notice in the back corner, our beautiful girlhood mentoring has started back up. And if you don't know what that is about, it's young ladies, age 13 and up, right, Sister Lois? And women that would be willing to mentor them and to be a part of their lives. If you would like to know more about it, please, Sister Lois, see Sister Lois. She is the lady that was playing the piano, and she'll get you more information in it. And looking forward to seeing all you men this here Saturday at the prayer breakfast. Don't forget to sign up for that. That's open to anybody and your friends. If you've got a friend that would like to come or won't come be part of a church service but would love to have some biscuits and gravy, invite them. Let them come meet us. That, hey, yeah, they're a little weird. They like LSU. Their pastor's an LSU fan. So they're a little weird, but you'll survive. I don't see any sad faces today. I think Miami won, didn't they, Bo? Florida won, almost. Or did they? They won by what, 4? And the Seminoles, they won on Friday night. Now, UCF, I don't know about them. Oles. Kerry, I'm sorry. You're going to have to talk to Coach up there. 0-3. Let's get to the Word of God this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5, please. Ephesians chapter number 5. I know many of you are ready to get into the Word of God. And this is going to be a weighty subject this morning. It's not a subject that some of you may be thrilled with Pastor afterwards, but it will be coming from the Bible. And so if you're going to be a pastor, you've got to be willing to stand in front and take the hard look sometimes that people give. Because they're going to come, I promise you, on this one. And I'm standing up here with knees knocking, thinking, Lord, what are they going to think of me after this one? But we've been preaching on this month, September, enemies of the home. Enemies of the home. And this one here is going to be defeating the enemy of indifference. Defeating the enemy of indifference. And when we get into it, you'll understand why. Because it is 180 degrees away from where our society is today. Listen, in my opinion, for the last 30 years, I have seen, not me personally, but looking back, I've seen unprecedented attacks on home and Christian values over the last 30 years. So I'm telling you, in our country, it has been under attack. And it seems as though Hollywood is raging with a civil war against the traditional family. I told you. I just saw some of them. I'm watching you, preacher. I'm watching you. You've got to cross that line here in a minute. Listen, in 1990, there was a survey done that said 89% of all Americans identified some way or another with a church. Some kind of church. And it said, the same survey said that 5% of television characters had a relationship with a religion of some sort. That was in the 90s. I'm here to tell you, dear friend, that has drastically changed. They did another one at the beginning of this year, and they said 75% of all Americans are sort of interested in some kind of religion, one way or another. And I'm guarantee you that the 5% of television characters today has shrunk. Has shrunk. Listen, in 1991, U.S. News surveyed people and asked this question: what is your greatest objective in your life? 56% of the people in 1991 said to have a closer walk with God. You couldn't tell that by the television that people are watching today. I told you. We're talking about the enemy of the home. Church, our church family cannot grow unless we have stronger. And I'm not talking growing numbers. Numbers is good. Praise God. From 7 years, look at this. God is blessed. I mean, He is tremendously blessed. And God's hand is upon our church from 13 people to what we see today just in 7 years. And we cannot back off the Word of God. We have to stay firm and stay fast upon the Word of God. God has blessed Lock Haven Baptist Church in over these 65 years that she has been here on this property. There's been many souls saved out of this church. Many of families put back together out of this church. Many rescued here from these church property. And we've got to stay focused that we are the salt and the light of our community. We are the shining gospel light for those around us. And it don't stop around us. It goes beyond our borders to the uttermost. The Bible says it's our responsibility. Think about this. About the late night television shows, and I don't watch them. I haven't watched one, probably since 1989, maybe. I'm talking Saturday Night Live and those type of things. How often do you see comical attacks upon family? Think about this. How often they're mocked. I remember years ago, Saturday Night Live had this one appearance of this one. She was called the church lady. Think about the recent movies since the 90s up to now. Think about The Rapture. Have you ever seen that? Or how about this? At Play in the Fields of the Lord. Leap of Faith. You'd think those was God-honoring movies, wouldn't you? Think about that. I was reading one today called Exodus, Gods and Kings. It's kind of a more modern one here. God, they created God, and God is some kind of little bully sitting up in heaven, just putting plagues on people. That's what the society looks at God as. I think about the movies that more recently have been made that have mocked and made fun. I think about television shows. In 1991, there was another survey that was done by American Family Association that said this: on regular television, sitcom TV, there were 571 references of sex outside of marriage and only 44 references to married couples at all. Brother Gary, you all right? Stay with me now. I know you're with me. My fishing, I taught fishing, Brother Gary. I got to at least keep my eyes, folks. I think about Brother Gary catching them fish because this is going to get tough. It's going to get tough, I'm telling you. And I'm going to do it with biblical backing and talk to you about this. I think about in 1993, where today is scary, but in 1993 there was something called out, came out called the picket fence. Did y'all ever hear that one? It was probably the first couple of times they had the first open lesbian primary care. New York PD, y'all remember that one? Bayside, you remember that one? Let's get away from there because I'm hurting myself here. How about Donahue? Oprah Winfrey? The Real? The View? How many times you hear the traditional family and role of a man and the role of a woman being under attack? John Underwood said this. He was the editor for Sports Illustrated. And he said recently, he wrote an article. He said that civilizations do not give out, they give in. They do not give out, they give in. They come apart, not in a flash, but by the rich in society where anything goes, everything will eventually go. Kind of like in Judges, where every man does that which is right in his own eyes, isn't it? Besides the constant reminders of the moral decay which we stand in, dear friend, we are more busy today than I've ever been in my life. We are so busy that we have no time to exercise our biblical faith to grow stronger in the Lord. In 1990, Lee Strobel offered a unique perspective, in 1994 to be exact, on the 90s. He said this, if you feel like life is whizzing past you at 90 miles an hour, you work 90 hours a week, you still got 90 items on your to-do list, you're on a 90-day calorie diet because you look 90 pounds overweight in a swimsuit, you've got 90 different bills to pay and you've already $90 overdrawn. The minimum payment of your visa this month is $90. And that's just the interest. You're still paying $90 a month on your student loan. And you don't know where you're going to get $90,000 to send your kids to four-year college. You've got 90 channels on your cable television, and there's still nothing worthy to watch. You drive your kids to 90 different activities each month. Your toddler just told you why, just asked you why 90 times today. And you think everything would be fine if you were just making 90 grand a year. That was in the 90s. We're 2015 right now, and we are far more beyond that than we could ever imagine in 1990. The bombardment of lesser values from the media and the combined schedules of our life has just made us as men and women and husbands and wives that we are just indifferent and dazed and we're stunned at how to even be a man or a woman. We really don't even know how to be these days a real man and a real woman. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 21. Ephesians 5, verse number 21. The Bible says there, in Ephesians 5, 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I told you this morning is going to be tough, but it's going to be biblical. I will stand here this morning and present to you a passage of Scripture that has been long shunned and shrugged aside. And it has created indifferences. We need to get to the point where we are guarding ourselves from indifferences in our biblical roles. Not what society says to us, not what our, listen, wife and husband, when you get married, your mother and father are no longer your spiritual leaders. You answer to God. So don't run back and ask Mama what should happen in your home, young ladies. Ask God to lead your husband. Husbands, don't go run back to your mama and ask how to lead your home. Get in the Bible and see how to lead your home. Husbands must provide the role of leadership according to Scripture. We are a Bible-believing church here. We are to lead husbands according to Scripture. You are not a dictator. You're not superior to your wife. Oh, yeah, preacher, I just read, submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. Why submit yourselves unto your husbands? Well, I'm glad you got that one. Go to Galatians 3 and verse number 28 and hold yourself there. Grab hold of your pews, cavemen. Ephesians 3 and verse 18. Verse 28, I'm sorry. Ephesians 3 and verse 28. You can see it for yourself so you can understand what I'm talking about. There is neither Jew nor Greek. We're in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are what? All one in Christ Jesus. You're not superior. You're equal. But it's your role to lead. It's your responsibility. Listen. Wives, I understand. And listen, young ladies who are looking into the future, looking for that man, looking for the one that's going to eventually become your spouse. And you know, if God blesses you with singleness, that's fine with me. If you can handle it, praise God for it. I'm okay with it. There's those that can, those that can. If you're burning and you're yearning in your lust, run to God. Find a young man, a young lady that is running to God. Introduce yourself. If God puts you together down the road, praise God for it. He may not always be right, but remember, he answers to God. He's not your superior. It's just simply a God-ordained position. Yeah. Church, I want you to know I love you. I would not stand up here this morning on a Sunday morning to present such a weighty matter if it was not so important. Our church cannot grow. Our church cannot be stronger. Our church families cannot grow more in the faith of the Lord if we do not get back to biblical roles. Biblical roles. Listen, the husband must provide the role of leadership in the home. The wife's role is that of completer, not competer. Our society says you ladies must compete. God says you're the crown of creation. God says that you're to be loved and cherished. You are not taken out of the toenail of a man. You are taken out of a rib, which is next and close to his heart. You're to be cherished and loved and held dear. Your role is that of completer. Preacher, do we have a Bible? Yes, we do. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, when God married the first couple. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 18. We're talking about indifferences. Does it really matter? Well, if the Bible says something point blank, it does really matter. Ephesians 2 and verse 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a competitor, a help meet for him, a completer." Why? Because we're lacking, man. We are lacking in a lot of areas. Our young people are growing up without seeing real men and real women. And they're confused. And it's on purpose because it's been a war waged by society for years through our television media. The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept and took a rib and closed up the flesh instead. The Bible says in Genesis 2 and verse 21, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man." There is a role that is biblically founded for men and women. Not a man who thinks himself a woman, or a woman who thinks herself a man. God does not make mistakes. He created a man and a woman, and He put them together, a man and a woman. He did not put a man and take a rib and break it in half and make a woman and a half man and said, "Adam, it's your choice." God made the choice. Biblical roles for a man and a woman. The man is to provide leadership. Wives, I know that we men are weak in this area. I know we falter and we fail. But you have your mistakes and your failures as well. I know some of you just said, "Yeah, preacher, but mine don't add up to his." A godly wife is a competitor, not a competitor. America is dying because lack of husbands and real men in our society who will not, with loving tenderness and care, provide the leaderships that the Bible says that we are to provide for our wives. How are we to do it, Pastor? As Christ. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and 5 verse 1. "Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Lord, I know he's a knucklehead. Lord, I know he don't have a spiritual bone in his toe, much less in the rest of his body. But I'm going to submit myself unto Him because I am doing it unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. In verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in the Lord." Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Quit dragging her around like you're some caveman and lead her in loving and tenderness as Christ leads the church. Amen. And we need to guard ourselves against the indifferences of biblical roles of a man and a woman. Because our society says, who cares? Apparently God cares. And if God cares, that's enough for me, church. What has society given us over the last 30 years but confusion and a breakdown of homes and families, a breakdown of men and women? Do you know the Bible says that if a man doesn't provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel? That's what the Bible says.
hit you.
We gotta face the enemy head on. We've got to quit burying our head in the sand and saying, it's going to be okay. No, we need men to stand up and be men of God, and ladies to be loved and cherished as Christ loved and cherished the church. And He gave Himself for it. That means your little toys come second, men. Sometimes your wife's little pedicures and manicures are more important than your shotgun shell. Meddling right there, didn't I? We need to guard against the indifferences towards biblical responsibility also. We live in a society, dear friend, where nobody takes responsibility for nothing. Nobody takes responsibility for anything anymore. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always my mama or my daddy's fault. It's where I grew up. Listen, you're not the first one that grew up in a broken home. Amen. But you are loved by God Almighty, and He will carry you through those deep and dark times. Amen. You're not the first couple that's divorced. But if you'll turn your life over to God, God will mend your heart. Amen. We've got to get to the point where we take personal responsibility. Well, I wouldn't blow up at them if what? The wrath of man working not the righteous. If what? If they got down on their knees and begged you not to? When is it going to come to the point where this is your problem and not somebody else's? The biblical role of husband and wife, man and women, we have to get past the indifference and say, yes, it does matter even today in 2015. And it does matter who's responsible. You are responsible for your own doings. Quit blaming others. Break the cycle. You don't be the next dad that beats on your children in your family circle. You don't be the next mom who breaks up that home. You stay put. You make the difference. You change it. You yield and submit yourself to God. Say, God, here am I. I know my background is what it is, but I want my future to be blessed in the light of Christ. Amen. Men, we've got to learn to communicate with our families. We've got to learn to communicate with one another. And I'm telling you, as a man, as your pastor, I struggle in this area. I don't do well with communication. The other day, my wife was telling me something, and I got on the phone. I texted Brother Bill and said, I'll be there at 2 o'clock. Then my wife said, well, she's ice skating. I said, oh, I didn't hear that. We fail in this area. We understand when we fail, it's our responsibility, dear friend. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It's like we drive around in reverse. We're in wrath, head on, tail on. We've got to get back to taking personal responsibility. We men got to get to the point where we love God above and beyond everything else. And we put God first in our lives. And God first. And He will work through us so that we take care of our responsibilities here on this earth. Love is better displayed, dear friend, than defined. Oh, I love you. But we never show it. It's my responsibility to show love as the man. For God so loved the world, He took responsibility for our wrongdoing. Then we've got to grow up. We've got to be the point men of the realm that we influence. We've got to begin to lead like we should and be the protector like we were meant to be and supposed to be for those that are around us. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. That's not that she is weak and feeble. It's you to be there protecting and watching over her. Guarding on guard for anything that might come in. I've been reading some articles and trying these things out. See, I'm getting old. I'm getting beyond the know-how to have lines you drop and come on to. I don't even know if that's a good word. God, help me not get in trouble here. To spark fire in my wife, in my life. So I was reading an article and it said 8 ways to flirt with your wife. Okay, I'm going to try this out. Wednesday night, we're over there in the youth zone, and there's, 12, 13, 14 of the youth sitting around there. We're going through our lesson, going through some biblical stuff, and in come my wife in the back, and as she got closer, I said, I'm going to try it. And I got my phone out because I couldn't remember it, and I saved that art, and okay, I'm going to say it. I got it. So she got closer. And I got the nerve. I said, honey, you're just like an overdue library book. You've got fine written all over you. She looked at me. And Drew said, Dad, how long did you Google to find out? He really didn't know. I had just done it. It's my job to protect against indifferences in my home and my relationship. So I got another one. That one didn't work. Strike one. Okay, I can deal with him. I'm a big man. So I got home. I said, honey, I'm jealous of your rearview mirror. Because it gets to look in your eyes all the time you're driving. She said, what? I won't tell you the third one. Because I struck out. It was something about wanting fries. With that. How did y'all know that? You ever read the same articles? They ain't working. So I decided to get back to the Bible. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church. He's going to present us to himself. This is what Jesus is doing. He's coming and working in our church that he might present it, a glorious church, to himself. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Take responsibility for your home, men. Young men, when you're not married yet, you're looking at that. Realize, before you spend thousands of dollars upon a wedding, build upon a marriage. Some of you spend $10,000, $30,000 on a marriage, on a wedding, and not yet put anything into the marriage. And I'm not against you having a beautiful wedding. I know, ladies, listen, I've got 4 girls, and from little bitty on, they prepare. They think about it. You know what bothers me? Somebody calls up here and says, Pastor, will you mind marrying us? And I say, listen, six sessions of counseling. Oh, we don't have time for that. I don't have time to marry you. It's not my job to marry you. I'm a pastor and a preacher of the gospel. If you don't want to do it the way the Bible says do it and follow the biblical principles, you don't want me to ask you if you're saved and born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, go to the justice of peace. They get paid to do it. I don't get paid to marry folks. Oh, Lord, preacher. I thought that was what you did. But no. Find it in Scripture. Well, that's a responsibility of a preacher. It's not there. He said, feed the flock. Not part-time married folks and feed the flock. Feed the flock. Now, I don't mind married people. It's especially those that are a member of our church and are coming. I don't mind it. I enjoy seeing couples come together and doing it. But you're going to have to, you know, I'm the one up here presenting you before God and man. It's more than I do. Take responsibility. We got to guard against the differences of biblical roles of man and woman against against responsibility. Well, go ask your mom. Well, go ask your dad. And back and forth. You think kids are wise, dear friend? They know what they want to do, and they know which buttons to push. And listen, you got to stick together as a team. They'll play you like fiddles. Do you understand there's biblical rewards for proper roles and responsibility? Look at this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm closing, really. I know some of you got football on your mind. It can't take no more. I have pounded you with three different styles of blitzes this morning. 1 Peter 3, and verse 7. I knew when I started this series the 1st of September that when we got down here towards the end of it, it was going to be pretty tough and pretty hard going. But I tell you, church, I am convinced that we need it. Look here what it says, 1 Peter 3 and verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as she is the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of grace of life, that your, what? Prayers? What? Be not hindered. Some of our prayers are hindered because we're not taking literal responsibility for our role as a man or a woman, a husband and a wife. I don't want my prayers hindered, church. I don't want to get to the point where I'm going through the motions in this thing of serving God. I don't know about you, but I want God all over my life. I want Him in every point, in every aspect of my life. We've got to fight the indifferences of biblical roles and say, yeah, it does matter. We've got to fight the indifference of taking responsibility for life. Yes, you're going to give an account for what you do. We've got to understand that by taking responsibility for those biblical roles, that there are great rewards. And one of them is having prayers answered in your life. Listen, be alive to the fact that your saved spouse or unsaved spouse will spend eternity somewhere. Somewhere. And you might be the difference in presenting them Christ, the hope of glory. As our culture moves away from biblical values, many of our Christians, it really doesn't matter anymore. Many of us say, "What? Why is it worth it?" It's worth it because through wisdom a house is built. Through wisdom a home is built. Through wisdom a church is built. It does matter. Church, I love you, and I'm telling you, I pray for you constantly. You're always on my heart. I know it's not easy for you to sit and to listen to some of this, but I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, it affects me as well. I'm not perfect in this, but it's what our churches need. It's what our church right here, it's what we need. I see some of our families, they're tilting, they're there. They're not sure if it really matters anymore. It matters. Because it's God's word. Let's stand up. Heads bowed, eyes closed, the pianist is coming. We'll have a song of invitation. Perhaps some of you would like to use the altars just to say, "Lord, I'm encouraged by the message today, and thank you for Pastor presenting it to us. But Lord, I'm tilting. Strengthen my hand. Strengthen my grip." Maybe some of you really don't care anymore. Here's You're just totally indifferent to the fact that God's Word says something. Why don't you come and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Perhaps this morning you've never trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. You don't know Him in a real relationship in forgiveness and free pardon of sin. Why don't you come this morning? Let us take the Bible and show you how you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.